move up, join us. Excellent. Okay. People taping now?
Yeah.
Is it on? Okay, let's begin the first Halacha Shiur of the year with the topic of Rosh Hashanah. We're going to go through, just as a 10-second intro, we're going to go through the Chagim, topics of the Chagim, and the Yom Tovim during Elul, the beginning of Choref, if you're still with us. Hopefully you will be. Some more people might join. We're going to do Tzitzis, Tfilin, Tfilah. These are all two-week series. And then we'll take it from there and we'll see. Probably a lot of Shabbos topics, Hilchos Shabbos. And then we'll see where we are. Okay, let's begin the topic of Rosh Hashanah with none other. People are encouraged to take notes. If I talk a little too fast, so that's why people are taping this. Otherwise, please take me up on the following. If I am talking too fast and you took notes and then I'm just going too fast for you, please come over to my makom afternoon seder, night seder, anytime, and I'm happy to go through and review any part of the shiur with you, the entire thing. And clarify it with you. Let's begin Rosh Hashanah with the topic of Tkiyah Shofar. Rosh Hashanah is upon us sooner than you think. The mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar is mentioned three times in the Chumash, once in Parshas Bahar, once in Parshas Emor, and once in Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Emor and Parshas Pinchas mention Zichron Trua and Yom Trua. Parshas Bahar is a different mention of Tkiyah Shofar, and that is the mitzvah of Shofar by Yovel. There are three different mentions of Tkiyah Shofar in the Torah. Because of that, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in the fourth parak tells us that there are three different truos, there are three different shofar blasts that each have to be surrounded by a tkiyah. Each have to be sandwiched by a tkiyah. So there's a tkiyah shvarim tkiyah, tkiyah trua tkiyah, and there's also a tkiyah shvarim trua combination. Tkiyah shvarim trua tkiyah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Lamed Daled quotes the Takan of Rabbi Abo, Iskin Rabbi Abo be Kesari. It's the same Kesari as Yaakov Shweki, right? Shweki and Kesari. So it's Iskin Rabbi Abo be Kesari that they weren't sure how to blow Trua. Was it nine shorter sounds or was it three longer sounds? The Gemara mentions that the nine longer sounds are what's called a Trua, but there's an Aramaic word for a Trua because Trua is a word from the Chumash. There's an Aramaic word from the Trua known as a Yalala. And the Shvarim in Aramaic is known as a Yavava. Or is it really a combo? Because of this, you have to blow each three times. That's at least Minat Torah, how much you have to blow. There are 30 blasts Minat Torah. The blasts that are done Minat Torah are before Shmona Esrei, and that's before we put back the Torah, before Musaf, so the Baal Shachris puts back the Torah. He's up there with the Baal Tokan, with the Makri, the one calling out the shofar blast. Those tkios are called tkios de miyushav. Why are they called tkios de miyushav? Because technically, from the word yoshev, technically you can sit for those tkios. The tkios, the shofar blast during Shmona Esrei are known as tkios de meumad, because you have to be standing during Shmona Esrei, because you're obviously standing during Shmona Esrei. We mentioned that Rabbi Abo was the one who made the takana. How come they didn't know until Rabbi Abo? So here the Rishonim give two different answers to the fact that there was just a little ambiguity as to the shofar blast. The Ran, who quotes Rav Haigon obviously came earlier. The Ran quotes Rav Haigon, who says that any combo is right as long as you blow a broken sound. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah mentions this because you weren't sure. The Gemara wasn't sure how people cry. Do people cry bits and pieces, or do people cry, let's say, three longer sounds? That's why a Shvarim versus a Trua. But the reason why Rabbi Abo came and said these absolute tkios, this is exactly what you have to blow, is because he just wanted to minimize machlokes in Klal Yisrael. So that's why he gave a defined sound for a shofar and the defined amount. The Rambam gives the second answer as to why Rabbi Abo made the takana with such specific shofar blast. The Rambam in Hilchos Shofar, Perek Gimel, Halacha Bet, tells us that it was a real suffix. Do we blow all permutations? People hadn't heard shofar in a while. That's why there was a transition between blowing shofar at Musaf and then they, I'm sorry, blowing shofar first at Shachris, and then, because they thought it was a call to arms, so they moved it to Musaf, they moved it later. That's why also the Gemara has sugyas of what's called Hatokea L'Sol Chabor, that you're blowing into a pit. And the question of the Gemara is whether it's Kol Tkiya, or it's called Trua Shama, or Kol Havara Shama, whether you hear an echo. People really weren't sure as to the authentic shofar sound. They hadn't heard shofar in a while. So that's why Rabbi Abo has to explain and delineate exactly what the shofar blasts are. That this is a tkiyah, this is a shvarim, this is a trua, and then the combo. So then the obvious follow-up to that is, why not just blow Tashrat three times. Why not just blow the entire combination, Tekiya, Shvarim, Truah, Tekiya, three times? And for this, we have an answer from the Gemara and an answer from the Ramban and others. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis says that because it might be a hefsek, so you can't just blow everything in one shot just to cover your bases. You have to blow exactly what you're told. The Ramban in Rosh Hashanah explains that a hefsek here is blowing a different kol, right? If you blow, you know, Fox NFL Sunday in the middle of the Tekiyos de Me'umad or Tekiyos de Me'yushav, so that's going to be a problem. You can't do that. You can't just blow any sports-themed music that you want. You have to blow exactly what the Torah tells you, or exactly what the Gemara in the fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, as we mentioned, tells you. So the problem of a hefsek is really blowing a different kol. But isn't doing that, or isn't really adding, right, the follow-up question to that is, isn't blowing an extra kol baltosif? So here we have two answers in order to answer away the problem of how it's not baltosif. Tosus in Rosh Hashanah tells us in Daf Tezayin, where the sugya, Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin, where the sugya baltosif appears, says that it's only a problem when you change the formulation of the mitzvah. But here you're just blowing an extra trua, an extra tekiah. You're just repeating the mitzvah. Repeating the mitzvah, says Tosos, is not baltosif. The Rashba gives a different understanding. The Rashba in that sugya, Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin, explains that it's only a problem when an individual adds a mitzvah, not when the tzibur adds a mitzvah. The tzibur gathers together in shul on Rosh Hashanah, so it's really considered as a tzibur enactment. It's considered as if the tzibur would be adding, but that's not a problem, says the Rashba. Only a problem when you add by yourself, only when an individual adds. So the bottom line is, how do you blow these tekiyos shvarim, trua tekiyah? So the Rush explains, he quotes the minog of the Beis HaYeshivos, the two yeshivos in yesteryear were Surah and Pumpadisa. They would blow, Malchios would be Tashrat, tekiyah shvarim, trua tekiyah. By Zichronos they would blow tekiyah shvarim, tekiyah. And by Shofros they would blow tekiyah, trua tekiyah. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you only blow... He disagrees with the minhag of the Beis HaYeshivos, and he says that you blow tekiyah, shvarim, trua, tekiyah, that full combination, each three times. You blow it each there. The minhag bizman hazeh is to blow one tashat, and one tarat at each malchios, zichronos, and shofros. If you look in your siddurim, the article siddurim for sure, because they haven't mentioned, but any of the siddurim that haven't mentioned, that's exactly what we do. We don't follow the minhag of the Beis HaYeshivos. We follow blowing all three once at each Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Of course, if you blow during the silent Shmoneh Esrei, if you're ever in a shul, Minhag Sfarad is to do that way, so then you have less at the end, right? The final 40 blasts, you have less. But, so that's the way that it's set up. So you have the first 30 kolos midoraisa are Tekiyah Shvarim Trua Tekiyah, Tekiyah Shvarim Tekiyah, and Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah three times each, and then you sort of take it from there. We explain what you do during Shmoneh Esrei, and then you have the final 40 blasts.
Wait, what was Pumpadisa's...
They would blow one at each. They would blow Tekiyah Shvarim Trua Tekiyah by Malchios, let's say, and then Tekiyah Shvarim Tekiyah by Zichronos, and Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah by Shofros.
So one.
One of each, right. We blow all three, but one of all three at each, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros.
They blow three,
well,
we blow one of
three. Let's, right. What's the bracha? So here there was a difference. The Rambam and Hilchos Shofar, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, it's very hard... it's very hard to overlook this Rambam. It's the first halacha in Hilchos Shofar. Says that the bracha is, and this is how we paskin, lishmoa kol shofar. We don't say al tekiyah shofar, we say lishmoa kol shofar, because the mitzvah is shmiah. That is exactly why there's no such thing as stealing a shofar sound. You can't steal a sound. You can steal a lulav, but you can't steal a shofar sound, because the mitzvah is shmiah, and you can't steal a voice. The Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovam, a different Rambam, explains the, as we mentioned when we first started this year, that shofar is mentioned three times in the Torah. So one of those times is not like the others, and that's Parshas Bahar. That's the mention of shofar by Yovel. The Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, Perek Yud Halacha Yud, tells us mitzaseh l'tkoa b'shofar b'asiri b'tishrei. So it's not a stira, it's not a contradiction at all. Those are two different halachos of blowing shofar.
The bracha in that case would be
So we don't really make a bracha on that. We don't make a bracha by Yom Kippur of Yovel. And the example of that nowadays, even though we don't have Yovel nowadays, is Motzei Yom Kippur. We have, when we get to Yom Kippur in a couple of weeks, when we do Monday night in a couple of weeks, so we're going to talk about Yom Kippur, so we'll end off, we talk about Ne'ilah. So there's there's a minhag of blowing, there's a din, whatever it is, but there's no bracha there.
And that would be disqualified by being stolen?
No, it's the same shofar. That's a good question, but there's just no bracha. That doesn't change the nature of the mitzvah. Okay, just to finish up this part, so Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in the Rush, explains that you make an alt kiyah shofar, and the reason why he says, even though we don't paskin like this lahalacha, the lundus is very good, because he says that the maisa of the mitzvah is also the gemar ha-mitzvah, right? What's unique by shofar, that's by a lot of other mitzvahs, what's unique by shofar is that you have the maisa of blowing the shofar, but then you have the fulfillment is hearing it. So you have the Baal Tokeya blowing, and then you have, I know it's a little hot in here, then you have listening to the shofar, and that's fulfilled by the people in the congregation. May you eat before Tekiya Shofar, and with this is our last subtopic within Tekiya Shofar, and then we'll move on to a couple of other subtopics. May you eat before Tekiya Shofar. So there's an idea to eat before Chatzos so as not to appear like you're fasting. We like to do that by Rosh Hashanah also. Rav Akiva Eger explained that he paskin, for those who feel weak, so you can eat before Chatzos. The obvious question about Rosh Hashanah is because davening usually goes later than Chatzos and Rosh Hashanah. Shabbos morning, you don't usually have this problem unless you daven very, very, very late. But if you don't, you daven in normal time, so you almost never run into this problem. The Stechemet, one of the Mefarshim on the Rambam, explains that you have to make sure if you're going to eat, there are a lot of yeshivas that have a kiddush in the middle. I'm not sure what our yeshiva does because I'm never here Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I daven out of yeshiva. But the Stechemet says you have to make sure not to eat too much, and you have to make sure to eat something. Not to eat something that will be mechayev you in Kiddush Makom Suda. We have a regular din of Kiddush on Shabbos and also Yontif. So Rosh Hashanah is considered one of the Chagim. So you would have Kiddush Makom Suda there. You would have a Chiyuv, but you don't want to be Koveya Suda, because then that runs into a problem of washing, whatever. We just want it to be a quick snack. Many Achronim explained that you may eat before a shofar if you'll still remain in the fear of judgment mode and mindset, because you will. So that's why many Achronim say that it's okay. The Yerushalmi has an interesting juxtaposition of the words in the Pasuk in Parshas Pinchas. Right, we mentioned that Shofar is mentioned three times. So one of them is Parshas Pinchas in the Torah. So the Yerushalmi in Maseches Rosh Hashanah explains, based on the juxtaposition, listen to this because it's actually clever, based on the juxtaposition of Yom Truah Yelochem and Va'asisem Ola, because it's in the context of Karbanos, at the end of Parshas Pinchas. So, Tekiyah Shofar Zman, the exact time for Shofar, is Musaf. And it's a long day, so you're allowed to eat a little bit. The Gemara in Sukkah, this is actually really Rashi in Sukkah. Rashi in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, explains that you can't eat before any mitzvah. This is not unique to Rosh Hashanah. I like to mention in a lot of my shiurim, the guys from past years definitely know this, and if you're listening on tape, so we'll mention you too. But I like to point out the halachic misconceptions. A lot of people know halacha fairly well, but there are a lot of things that just fall between the cracks. So we'll try to point them out during the year. There are a lot through the year. And we can discuss them on tape and off tape, on camera and off camera. But one of them is that people think that there are only certain mitzvos, right? You're not allowed to eat before Kriyas Megillah. The reason why you're not allowed to eat before Kriyas Megillah, technically you could break your fast on a city that's a Dalit city, because Tesvav city never has Tanis Esther running into Kriyas Megillah. But you have Yudalid running into, because Tanis Esther is by definition Yud Gimel, and even when it's early it doesn't run in. But the idea is from this Gemara in Sukkah, Lamed Ches Amud Beis, and Rashi in Sukkah, you're not allowed to eat before any mitzvah. The same way that you're not allowed to eat before davening, we'll talk about that a separate time. There are ways to get out of it, but good. That's shofar. Let's move on to our next subtopic, the subtopic of tashlich. Where does tashlich come from? What's its source? What's its origin? Why do we say it? So there are three very quick explanations. The Ma'aril, one of the early 15th century Chachmei Ashkenaz, explains that it's based on a medrash. The medrash says that the day of the Akedah, which was Rosh Hashanah, Avram and Yitzchak were walking to the Akedah together, and they were impeded by a river formed by the Satan, formed by the Malach HaMavis. They walked in the water until it came up to their mouths, and they said, they yelled out to Hashem to help them. That day was Rosh Hashanah. And because they were helped, because they turned to Rachamim, they turned to Hashem's Rachamim, so that's why we go to a body of water and we try to be metaking that, we try to fix that by davening B'schus Avos, which is a big idea on Rosh Hashanah. We mentioned that in the context of the Akedah. We also mentioned that in Zichronos as part of the Musaf Shemona Esrei. The second answer is from a Gemara. The Gemara in Horios, Daf Yud Bet, tells us that a river was the place to coronate kings because we're coronating Melech Malchi Amlach Makadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, so that's what we do on Rosh Hashanah. And the third answer is as a Siman Tov. It's just that a river is nice how it flows. It's a nice omen. It's a nice sign. It's a Siman Bracha. And that's why we do it there. It's usually done, Tashlich is usually done on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, unless it's Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah points out in Siman Tov Kuf, Pei Gimel, that you're not allowed to, because we're worried that people are going to take this Sidurim. This is based off of Gemara and Beit Sadaf Yud Bet. You're going to get to this in Night Seder soon. So the Gemara mentions the whole thing about Hotzah Letzorech and Hotzah Shelo Letzorech Machlokas Beishami Beisilel. Not to digress, but just to get back. So that's the whole point of that you're not really supposed to take things out of the Rishus, of your private domain, into Rishus HaRabim, that are not necessarily needed for, even if they are needed, it's really not everything is needed, so it's a problem just to take Sidurim out of the individual boundaries into the public domain. You can really do it until Hoshanah Rabbah. Yeah?
No.
Okay. The idea of sleeping on Rosh Hashanah, our next subtopic. The Ramah in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Gimel Seif Bet, you can look all this up after, this is all in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, mentions the minhag not to sleep on the days of Rosh Hashanah. It's learned from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah tells us that if one sleeps on Rosh Hashanah, so his mazel sleeps, right? We were talking about it outside and we were waiting for this year to finish, so we were talking a little bit about it also. So your mazel sleeps, and you won't have a successful year, and you're going to be sleeping when you're supposed to be awake. You know, you'll oversleep the snooze button, etc. So there are a lot of implications of this, and you're not going to have as successful and as productive of a year you're supposed to have. Since it's the Yom HaDin, so your din would also be unfavorable if you sleep. There are some achronim who just like to be creative with the English lashon that's used to translate. You're not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah because you're gonna have a sleepy year. So they say that really, it's one may not sleep. Not that you're not allowed to go to sleep, which means that you're allowed to go to sleep, but you're not allowed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, which means you're supposed to get up before like Alos HaShachar time. A lot of people don't hold of this. I don't know if there's a connection between that and the people who like to daven Vasikin, but maybe. But you're supposed to wake up before the day begins. Mishnah Berurah points out that sleeping is not the goal, right? You should spend your time with learning Torah, but especially Amiras Tehillim, which is not just something that was thrown out by the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, and I know a lot of families who have their own little minhag to split up Tehillim among the family over 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. They split up all the chapters of Tehillim. I know my family did that for a number of years. We stopped just because when everyone left the house, it was just hard to keep track. But a lot of people do that because Tehillim evokes Rachamim. We know that there are specific Tehillim that do that. You say specific Tehillim for Cholim, which are mentioned in Halacha. And we know that when Esther came before Achashverosh, so she said a specific Tehillim, and she was saved because of that. She had the scepter turned to her, and she was saved because of that. Uzi, quick question.
Is not sleeping for just the first day or just the first morning? Or?
So it's supposed to be both days. Especially since Rosh Hashanah is known as Yoma Arichta. It's seen as Kedusha Acha. It's seen as one long day. So whatever applies to the first day applies to the second day. Avi, quickly, and then we'll go back.
Doesn't it say in the Mishnah Berurah maybe that after Chatzos you could sleep, or doesn't say?
I have to look that up.
Oh.
I'm not 100% sure. Let's get to the next subtopic of Shechianu and Simana Milsa, the fruit and the exotic fruit that we bring that we don't normally eat during the year. We bring to the table the Ramah in Siman Tuf Reish. And the Hagos Maimini, one of the commentaries on the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Chavtes, mentions that at Kiddush, on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, you wear new clothing, you put a new fruit on the table, and you say Shechianu. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that really, to get out of the machlokes of Rosh Hashanah being on the one hand, Yoma Arichta, one long day as we had just mentioned, and Kedusha Achas, on the other hand, it's really 2 days. Even though it's Yom HaArichta, it's also two separate days. And the Shechianu of the first day doesn't necessarily cover you, the Shechianu of the second day. The Mishnah Berurah, if I'm not mistaken, mentions that a lot of people make this mistake, the Ramah or the Mishnah Berurah, definitely one of them mentions, that it doesn't really apply to the other Yom Tovim also. People erroneously think that it applies to the second day Sukkot, it applies to the second day Pesach, if you have such a thing. So That's not true. It's just that because Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achas, because it's Yom HaArichta, which means that it's one long day, so you would think that that's all it is. No, it's really 2 days in real life. And Sukkot doesn't have that dynamic, and Pesach doesn't either. Rav Shlomo Zalman, who I heard was spoken about from this seat earlier in the day, Rav Shlomo Zalman explains in his Mincha Shlomo in Simen Chaf that people shouldn't think the Shechianu was only on a new fruit. There was a whole debate as to what we have available to us now. People used to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik about wearing a new suit. So people, many people, some not. It's more common to get new suits multiple times during the year because of that. So for things that are questionable, so if you have an exotic fruit that you haven't eaten in a year, and you know you haven't eaten it in a year, we were just talking with Rabbi Tarrigan about the pomegranates. So pomegranates are something that a lot of people don't eat more than once a year. So if you know that it's a fruit that you don't eat more than once a year, or something else, there are a number of things that are mentioned, l'simen tov, that you can eat for good luck. You're not supposed to eat any nuts, really, but especially egozim, because egos is b'gematria chet. We don't want to arouse chet on Rosh Hashanah. We have a number of fruits, rimon, eshiyir, vuzachu, yosenu, krimon, the amount of seeds that are in a pomegranate, whether it's exactly 613 or not, you could speak to our Italian about, but that's shechianu and simana milsa, those fruit that you have on the table. Just the last couple of subtopics quickly, simcha and tanis. Are you allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah? So here the Shulchan Aruch mentions in Siman Tav Kuf, Tzadi Zayin, that ochlim, v'shosim, usmeichim, and in other words, you cannot fast on Rosh Hashanah, but you shouldn't eat till your stuff so as not to become too lightheaded. Rosh Hashanah really, and I heard this from somebody many years ago, that the Pasuk mentions by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, more than it mentions by other Yomim Tovim in Pinchas, in Emor, that Yom Truah Yi Elochem, and this, right, Rosh Hashanah Yi Elochem, and it repeats Rosh Hashanah Yi Elochem about three or four times. What does Yi Elochem mean? It's a beautiful idea, you can share this with anyone over Rosh Hashanah, whether you're eating here all the meals, or you're eating out, or whatever. Yi Elochem means Rosh Hashanah needs to be for you the way that you relate to it. It has to always be in the confines of halacha, but, in other words, emphasizing that Rosh Hashanah has a dual theme. It really has duality. It's a little bit of ochlim, v'shosim, usmeichim, being happy, singing during davening, but also, you should never forget that, right, you're being judged, everybody, Kol Bali Olam Ovrim Lefanecha Kivnei Maron. We all go like sheep, like a flock of sheep, and there has to be a certain emas hadin. There has to be a certain fear. So if you're going to eat at a kiddush that's presented to you before a shofar, as we had mentioned, a lot of yeshivas do that. So you shouldn't stuff your face. You shouldn't go all out. The Ramah mentions that it's a mitzvah to fast, but it's not really the Ramah himself. He quotes the Trumas Hadeshen. The Mishnah Brura mentions Trumas Hadeshen, I believe, was at the border of the Rishonim and Achronim era, if I'm not mistaken. So the Ramah quotes him and says it's a mitzvah to fast. The Mishnah Brura in Siman Kuf Peches quotes the Magen Avram that if you forget Yalav Yovo, you don't go back because of that idea that there's a mitzvah to fast. There's not an absolute chiyuv to eat bread. That's what the Mishnah Brura quotes. There are a lot who follow this. The Mishnah Yavetz, Rabbi Tzal Jolti, who was a prominent Rav in Yerushalayim, in his Chuvos and Siman Nun, mentions that you do go back. Lamaisa, you don't go back, because even though it's Asar to fast, there's no Chiyuv to eat bread on Rosh Hashanah. The Tur mentions, in his Code of Halacha and Siman Tav Kuf, Tzadi Zayin there, says that it's mutter to fast on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, not the first. There are two ways to understand this. Either because the first day is Rosh Chodesh, and we know that Rosh Chodesh mentioned in the fourth chelek of Mishnah Brura, Tuf Yotes, if I'm not mistaken, so there may not be an absolute obligation to eat bread on Rosh Chodesh, but you're not allowed to fast. And the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Mishnah Brura, they all say, and all the Achronim explain, that mitzvah laharbos besudas Rosh Chodesh. You're supposed to have a little bit more in Rosh Chodesh. You're supposed to have an extra food. The next Rosh Chodesh is really Rosh Hashanah. But you'll remember this for Cheshvan, Teves, etc. Bring something extra to lunch on Rosh Chodesh. And the second reason, hold on a second, Avishav. The second reason is because the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Do Raisa, and that really carries with the second day is also Do Raisa, kind of. But it's really all considered one day, and the second day really follows off the heels of the first. I'm done in 30 seconds, so you take the one.
You want to fast pass Chatzot?
Maybe. Just the last 30 seconds about Tefillah and Hallel, the Chachamim were Koveya, Tekios, Al Seder HaBrachos, that Tekios, whether you daven Minhag Sfarad and you do blow shofar during the silent Shemoneh Esrei, and then you just have less you have fewer shofar blasts to blow after the Shemona Esrei at the very end, in between the first part of Kaddish Shalim and the end, in the middle of Kaddish Shalim. So you do say them, even though you don't have shofar, meaning those brachos that are together with the tkios. So you say them even if you don't have shofar. And there's something, if you're ever in this situation, I don't think I've ever been, if you have to choose between, you're on a desert island, you have to choose between a shofar, a baal tokeya, and whatever, and a wonderful baal tefillah, a wonderful baal tokeya, you're choosing between tefillah and tekios. Tekiya shofar is a mitzvah min haTorah. Tefillah is a mitzvah midrabanan. The Rambam mentions we're gonna do Hilchos Tefillah in our Monday night shiur in Chorav Zman, God willing. But the Rambam says that to daven once a day, every day, is min haTorah. Learned from the Gemara in Tanis Daf Beis Amud Aleph at the bottom. Ula avdo b'chol levavchem havei omer zu tefillah ezo hi avodah shebelev havei omer zu tefillah. But the text is midrabanan. The text was made by the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, and so even so, so you have to choose between both. You choose shofar over davening. And just the last thing is that we know that there's no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah because it's a Yom Hadin. That's what the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yedaleh mentions, that there's no Hallel on a number of days. One of those days, there's no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah, and the main reason is because Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanov, that Hashem has the Book of Life and Book of Death. He has the Sefer HaZichronos in front of him, and even though it's a happy time, Yiyelachem, as we mentioned before, even though it's a happy time, it's also a time where we are subject to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment and we have to take seriously. Have an amazing night.